Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Good morning and welcome to Africa Link. I'm Crispin Mwakideu in Bonn, Germany. Our main stories this Thursday, June the 11th. Voters in Zimbabwe have been to the polls to elect 21 new lawmakers, but not all parties are satisfied.
Those who are standing against the ZANU-PF, the ruling party, they are claiming that there have been cases of intimidation of their supporters.
African leaders sign a free trade pact that spans from Cairo to Cape Town.
This agreement, which has been worked on for around 5 years already, is seen as a way of forming a super trade bloc.
Plus, Human Rights Watch report calls on the Ghanaian government to do more to help end the practice of child labour in gold mines. This story, plus the radio drama Crossroads Generation, in just a few seconds.
Top story.
We begin in Zimbabwe, where results from Wednesday's by-elections are slowly trickling in. The seats were left vacant following the expulsion of 21 legislators by the ruling ZANU-PF and the opposition MDCT party. President Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF is widely expected to win and increase its majority in parliament after a boycott by the MDCT. Columbus Mavunga is in Harare and has been telling me how the voting process went on.
I think generally it has been peaceful. Those who are standing against the ZANU-PF, the ruling party, they are claiming that there have been cases of intimidation of their supporters.
What about the voter turnout? Did many voters come out to vote in this election, by-election rather?
In most urban areas that I visited, the turnout was very low, unlike in rural areas where the voting turnout was high to an extent that I think until almost the last minute before the closing, there were still people queuing, hoping to cast their vote.
Have there been any claims of irregularities from the local observers or the foreign diplomats that I understand were observing the by-elections?
They noted that despite the by-election being held in a peaceful atmosphere, they are saying they are concerned about the reports of those who are contesting against ZANU-PF having either the candidates or their supporters being intimidated by what they see as either state security agents or members of the ruling ZANU-PF.
And what were the main issues that were brought up in this by-election and which party addressed them the best?
I think it's not a question of which party addressed them best, because I think this election, I think the main party which is contesting is ZANU-PF. If it were another election, I think the issue of poverty, unemployment, and also just generally the economy still on a decline, I think was going to carry the day.
And so from what you're telling me, it seems as if what observers have been saying, that ZANU-PF will emerge victorious in these polls, will still stand.
I think that that's very clear that ZANU-PF will carry the day, not because it is more popular than any other person or any other party, but it is because I think it's the only visible, besides very small people who I think even if you look at them contesting, they are not even sure of what they are contesting for.
And one last question, when do we expect the results?
The results should be coming out from early hours of Thursday, right into midday of Thursday.
Columbus Mavunga in Harare. One of the lawmakers kicked out by MDCT is Zimbabwe's former finance minister and outspoken politician Tendai Biti. Isaac Mugabe has been speaking with him to find out what he thinks of the by-elections and Zimbabwe's political future. Due to technical reasons, we've had to voice over the interview.
Look, you can't keep on participating in flawed electoral processes.
Look, you can't keep on participating in flawed electoral processes that serve to give big benefits to dictators such as Robert Mugabe. Mugabe has perfected the art of winning elections, so it will be very foolish for the opposition to continue legitimizing these sham elections which don't deliver. So let Mugabe have his own little victory, which doesn't put bread in the lives of ordinary and suffering Zimbabweans.
But again, this will help ZANU-PF to increase its majority in parliament. Do you think it's a wise decision to boycott the elections, Mr. Biti?
ZANU-PF already has a supermajority in parliament with or without these by-elections. So extra seats won't change the fact that they already have a supermajority necessary to change the constitution. Your question should be, is the boycott sufficient without doing anything? Of course, the answer to that is that the boycott alone is not sufficient. We ought to have organized proper campaigns which clearly define demands for electoral reforms. We didn't do this, and a boycott that doesn't have any delivery, that doesn't cause the other party to pay attention or to listen to you, is pointless. So, from that point of view, the criticism of the boycott position is valid.
Why has it been so difficult for the opposition in Zimbabwe to unite and work together as a team in order to achieve its main goal, which is to unseat President Robert Mugabe?
The main reason is the collective foolishness on the part of
the main reason is the collective foolishness on the part of the opposition, the lack of leadership, and due to the egoistic people who are content with just saying, I am the president of a political party. But our situation is unique. We are under a terrible and unique dictatorship, and this dictatorship tries to divide and corrupt members of the opposition. So we are a mere reflection of a very contradictory, a very, very divided and polarized space. So the opposition just reflects the decaying morale that is arresting the rest of the country. But Zimbabweans deserve better. I think Zimbabweans must stop putting faith in any individual or individuals. Or collectively, simply say, we are tired of our time being wasted by a stupid opposition party and a stupid ruling party.
If you are to face the current President Robert Mugabe, what would you tell him?
I would tell him to resign and go home and rest at his farm. I will tell him to resign like yesterday and allow Zimbabwe to begin a new chapter of reconstruction. He has failed. That's what I will tell him.
You failed. That's what I will tell him.
And how about your former boss, Mr. Tsvangirai?
I would also tell him to resign as well. Morgan Tsvangirai has been the face of the opposition and Mugabe has been the face of the status quo. Those two have failed Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe needs new faces, the new and the vigorous.
Zimbabwe needs new faces, new and the vigorous.
Zimbabwe's former finance minister and outspoken politician, Tendai Biti.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
Child gold diggers. Ghana has been indicted in a damning Human Rights Watch report on child labour in the mining sector. The investigative report paints a vivid picture of the hazardous conditions under which thousands of children work in gold mines. It also reveals that Ghana's government has not done enough to stop the practice. Isaac Kalechi was present when the revelations were made in Accra and sent us this report.
According to the 82-page report by the Human Rights Watch, Ghanaian children of school-going age are being engaged as labourers in unregulated and unlicensed gold mines, thereby exposing themselves to hazardous materials such as mercury. Most of these kids forced into labour are between the ages of 15 and 17. Lead researcher for the report, Julian Kippenberg, says the situation is worrying and threatens the lives of children.
So there's been a case about 2 years ago where a boy worked in such mine. He'd been working for a while. He was an orphan living with his aunt. One morning he went to work. Basically the walls of that pit gave in and buried him alive.
The research, which was carried out in Western, Central and Ashanti regions, covered several months. Researchers visited 10 artisanal and small-scale gold mining and processing sites, interviewing 44 child miners. Kippenberg says government doesn't appear to be up to the task in protecting these children.
Yes, this is because of poverty, but it also is, you could say, a way and a result of the government's inaction on the topic and the company's inaction. So if the governments and the companies came together to really demand that all children stop working in mining, even in the unlicensed sites, this would definitely also reduce the numbers.
Government officials concede they haven't done well, but say they are helpless without proper funding. Cyprian Lai is with the Labour Ministry of Ghana.
It is a challenge. It will change, but it has to do with resources. Government is challenged in terms of resources.
The Minerals Commission of Ghana, which regulates the operations of mining companies in Ghana, says it is working hard to improve the situation. Its senior communications officer, Isaac Kojo-Abraham, revealed,
"We make sure that all those companies having licenses go by the rules guiding their licenses. If we notice that you have violated or breached any of such, we sanction you thereof. So we make sure that small-scale mining license operators with licenses, as much as possible, will not have to engage in child labor."
Isaac Kalechi in Accra. There's excitement among traders and economists after African leaders signed a historic 26-nation free trade pact on Wednesday. The deal aims to create a common market from Cairo to Cape Town with a combined population of more than 600 million people. It will integrate three existing trade blocs: the East African Community, EAC, the Southern African Development Community, SADC, and the Common Market for Eastern and Southern Africa, COMESA. To find out the significance of this deal, I've been speaking to Razia Khan, Head of Africa Economic Research at Standard Chartered in London.
There are two ways of looking at this. One is that compared to just about any other developing region, Africa is the region that sees the least amount of intra-regional trade. The latest data suggests that that has improved only very slightly, from around 12% of total trade to maybe 14% of total trade. There is still a long way to go. One of the criticisms, however, was that many African countries had signed up to multiple trade blocks, and they didn't really mean anything. So this agreement, which has been worked on for around 5 years already, is seen as a way of forming a super trade bloc and putting in place the necessary pieces that should allow for more trade to take place between those different regional trade blocs, no longer having to worry about perhaps competition between the different trade zones.
Well, usually with this kind of trade pacts, there are some that are bound to gain the most and others are going to lose out. Who do you see gaining the most in this deal?
What we see, even with the signing of this agreement, is not necessarily the inclusion of ECOWAS, at least not just yet. So if we are looking at potential winners from this, a very broad way of looking at it would be a lot of the East African and Southern African countries that already belong to this agreement will, of course, stand to benefit. It doesn't yet have any implications for West Africa. Within the trade bloc itself, we are going to be seeing large economies like South Africa, like Egypt, and of course, smaller economies with less well-established manufacturing sectors, all part of the trade bloc.
Well, there is still a long way before the pact can come into effect, like the ratification by respective parliaments of all these countries. What other hurdles could this agreement face along the way?
Well, the key one is that it's precisely that. It's the implementation. The criticism leveled at what has happened in this space so far is that many countries sign up to all of these agreements, but in terms of actual implementation, the record is very different. So you're right, this is only the beginning of a process, and it's going to be a lengthy process. It could be some years before it's fully in effect, but at least it is a starting point. The key to watch going forward is going to be the level of implementation.
Razia Khan, Head of Africa Economic Research at Standard Chartered in London. Time now to join the Crossroads Generation, a learning by ear production.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello. Great to have you back on Crossroads Generation, our ongoing radio drama about a group of African teenagers.
We're standing at the crossroads, we're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation, our future starts today.
We're on the fourth season, facing new challenges, and this is episode number 8 called Water is Life. Previously, Lulu and her children ate a dinner of fish from the Tandika River, which her sons Kadu and Banda had brought home. She was very proud of them for catching their own food and contributing to the household. But what none of them realized was that the fish was contaminated, and that night they paid the price.
Mom, my stomach hurts.
Mine too, Banda. I haven't slept a wink. I was just going to go to the toilet. Do you want to come with me?
Yes, Mom.
The same night, 19-year-old Mercy was shocked when her husband Nikki wanted to sleep with her without protection, even though he's HIV positive. Mercy couldn't understand his behavior.
Why are you doing this? Do you want to infect me? Is that what you want?
I want a baby, okay? I want a baby.
What?
Nikki and Mercy already have a child, Linda. But Nikki's not her biological father. He adopted her. So, what now? Today's episode starts at the university hostel.
Tina! Tina! Open up! It's me, Mercy! Tina! Please, open up! We're getting wet out here!
Mercy, Linda, what are you doing here at the hostel so early in the morning and in this weather?
Oh, Tina, thank God. Can we come in?
Sure, come in, out of the rain. Here's a towel. Dry yourself. Poor Linda. How are you, poor baby?
Oh.
You're such a shy girl. When are you going to start talking to people, Linda? Hey, Mercy, is everything okay?
Linda, go and lie on Auntie Tina's bed. Mom needs to talk to your auntie, okay?
Hey, what's wrong? Tell me.
He's going crazy, Tina.
Who's going crazy?
Nikki, he
what? Mercy, you're not making any sense. Did he hit you?
No. He woke up in the middle of the night and asked me to have unprotected sex with him.
He what?
Kadu, your brother is sick and you're laughing at him.
He's not sick, Mom. Banda just ate too much.
You shut up, Kadu.
I'm not feeling well either. Did I eat too much as well?
I didn't say that.
So shut your big mouth, boy, and turn the radio up. We need to know what's going on in the world.
Ban on fishing and other activities in the Tandika River after hundreds of fish were reported to have died. Government officers who visited the area are urging anyone who might have eaten fish from the river in the past week to visit the nearest health facility immediately. Some people in and around Tandika are reported to have contracted food poisoning with symptoms such as stomach pain, diarrhea, and vomiting.
What?
In other news...
Did you two boys... Where exactly did you get the fish you ate yesterday?
We fished it from the Tandika River.
Oh, great.
What is it, Mom?
Don't you have ears? You two fed us all on poisoned fish. Come on, we need to go to the hospital right away.
I'm not going. I'm not sick.
We are all going. Wake up your sister. Didn't you hear what they said on the radio? Anyone who ate fish from the Tandika River has to go see a doctor immediately.
There, Tina. I can't take it anymore.
Mercy, I don't understand. Nikki's always been so decent and reasonable. What has come over him?
Don't get me wrong. He's not violent or anything. It's just that I don't understand him. One minute he seems perfectly happy. The next he's suddenly gone broody. He says he wants to have a baby.
A baby?
Imagine! I mean... How is that even possible? Is he crazy or something?
But I thought he adopted Linda.
Apparently she's not enough for him. Oh. Now he wants a child of his own with me. I mean, does he want to infect me or what? I don't understand him, Tina.
What do you want to do?
I don't know. Please let us stay here until I figure something out.
I didn't mean that. You know you and Linda can stay here as long as you want. What I'm asking is, do you want to have a baby with him?
How can you even ask me that?
Just tell me, Mercy. Do you still love him?
That's the crazy thing. I do. I love him very much.
Listen, Mercy. Back when I was working as a call girl, I heard from other girls that it was possible to have a baby with someone with HIV without getting infected.
You're joking, right? How would that work?
I don't know. But if you love him and you want a baby with him, maybe the two of you should talk to a doctor and find out.
Hello, Dr. Roberts.
Oh, Mama Mercy. And the boys, Kadu and Bandu, isn't it?
No, Doctor. Kadu and Banda.
Kadu and Banda, right. Yes, of course. I've got your files right here. Have a seat. How are you, boys?
We're fine, Doctor.
Well, I can't say it's good to see you again, Mama Mercy.
Why, Doctor?
Well, when someone has to come and see a doctor, it's not usually good news.
You're right there, Doctor.
Now then, the samples my colleagues took from you earlier have been examined, and we have your results already.
Are we going to be okay, Doctor?
Luckily, yes. You did well to come in immediately. Your results show that you all had a mild case of food poisoning.
All of us?
Yes, Kadu. All of you.
But I don't feel sick, Doctor.
Food poisoning presents differently in different people. Sometimes you have it and it clears up all by itself, while other people have to be treated. In your case, Kadu, your body was able to protect itself this time. Mm. And that's why you didn't feel as sick as your brother and mother. But of course, this doesn't mean you should eat poisoned fish again.
But what exactly killed the fish, Doctor?
I'm not an environmental expert, but it seems the heavy rain swept waste from the Tandika garbage dump into the river. So the water was contaminated and poisoned the fish.
I see. So what do we need to do to get better?
I am going to give you all some antibiotics. Make sure you finish the whole dose as prescribed and be sure to drink lots of clean water. The problem should clear up in a few days.
Thank you so much, Doctor.
You're very welcome.
Come on, boys. Let's go and fetch your little sister from the children's doctor and go on home. Goodbye, Dr. Roberts.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Take care.
And with that, we end today's episode. We hope you'll join us again next time when Nikki comes to Tina's hostel place looking for Mercy. What does he want to tell her? Also coming up, Summer reveals her secret to Kadu. Be sure to catch the next episode and feel free to contact us via Facebook in the meantime. You can also visit our website dw.de/LBE for more. Bye for now.
Everyone around us seems to have good advice, but do we want someone else to decide about our life?
So who do we trust? Who's a real friend? Who will support us and not only pretend?
I'm standing at the crossroads trying to be strong. Where should I turn to? Where do I belong?
My head is full of questions. I don't know what to do. There's so many options. Which one of them is true? There's so many temptations that you cannot just ignore. Maybe interesting for now, but how about tomorrow?
We get high and then fall deeper than we've ever been before. We can drown our sorrows, but in the end there will be more.
So let's step back and take a deep breath, cause what's coming up won't be easy.
It's tough, but we can do it.
Our life is in our hands.
And now a quick summary of what we've covered in this edition of Africa Link. Results are trickling in Zimbabwe after it held elections to elect 21 lawmakers. Human Rights Watch have called on the Ghanaian government to help end the practice of child artisanal miners. Last but not least, African leaders have signed a free trade pact that spans more than half the continent. We'd like to hear your thoughts and suggestions on the program. Send us a text message to country code 49160957 89510, an email to feedback.africa@dw.de, or a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. I'm Crispin Mwakideu. Bye for now.